Heavenly Father, our simple prayer this morning is the same prayer that Samuel prayed many, many, many years ago. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a New Testament and an Old Testament reading for our message today. And so we'll begin with the New Testament reading found in Luke chapter 2. And we're going to start reading at verse 41. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been seriously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And then we're also going to turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Hear these words of the Lord. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." This is the word of the Lord. Well, here we are. It's the last Sunday of 2018. And the end of the year brings with it a tone of reflection in which we consider not just the Advent and Christmas seasons that we have just come through, but also we consider the journey of our lives over the past year. We're opening Psalm 121 and this last part of Luke 2 today. And these two passages together seem like a natural fit for this last Sunday of 2018. Psalm 121 is a journeying psalm. And in the end of the year, it brings to us a natural pause as we consider our life's journey, where God has taken us in 2018 and where he might take us in 2019. The passage from Luke, the story of the boy Jesus in the temple, reminds us that we are moving on from the Christmas story. Jesus does not stay as a baby. So let's dig in, and we're going to see today how these two passages fit together and how they connect with our lives today. Psalm 121 is one of many of the songs of ascent which the Israelites sang as they journeyed from their homes to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover festival. And it's likely that the people, as they traveled, journeyed, walked along the road, the people would sing the first two verses of this psalm. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And as the Israelites headed toward Jerusalem, they saw ahead of them the hills they would soon be traveling through. These hills could harbor thieves and robbers waiting to attack travelers walking the road to Jerusalem. So as they sang these words, the people could have been acknowledging their reliance on God through the upcoming potential danger. On the other hand, they could have been looking at the upcoming hills and really looking at them with a sense of joy and delight, because in those hills is where Jerusalem sat, and in Jerusalem is where the temple was, and they were going to this beloved place of worship. And so they could have been looking at the hills in that way as well. Either way, when the people sang these words, they were declaring their trust in God. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. For us, when we look at life, whether we look at life with joy and eager anticipation, or if we look ahead with hesitation and even maybe some dread, this is a good prayer for us to close out the old year and to take into this new season of life, this new year. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It's likely then that in response to the people's declaration of trust, a leader or a priest would then sing the last six verses of this psalm, sort of as a blessing over the people as they journeyed on their way. The Lord will watch over you. Every time we hear or read or think of this psalm, we declare our trust in God, and we receive a blessing of God's promise to watch over us. This gives us both comfort and courage for the road ahead. All throughout this psalm, there is a sense of an intimate closeness with God, but there's also a sense of God's big transcendent picture of his rule over all things. In the people's opening stanza, we hear this personal declaration, "My help comes from the Lord." It's very personal. And we hear the great big picture of who God is, the maker of heaven and earth. This was their way of saying the maker of all things, visible and invisible, particles that we have yet to discover, and the things that we currently see, the known and the unknown. The big picture and the small picture, the close, intimate picture. This picture also comes in the priestly blessing that follows in the rest of the psalm. A single word is used six times as a word of blessing for the people. The word is shamer, the Hebrew word, which can be translated many ways. It could be that God will watch over, he will keep, preserve, protect, guard. All of these words come from that Hebrew word, shamer. And it occurs six times over and over. He will watch over you. He will guard you. He will protect you. God does this both personally in sometimes what we would call small ways, and he does this in a large communal sort of way. There's a close, intimate picture of God's presence and a much bigger and grander picture of his presence The intimacy comes through in the promise that he will keep your foot from slipping. He is your shade at your right hand. He will keep your life, your coming, your going. Right now, he's doing this. But there's also the big picture in this blessing of Shamir, of God watching over his people. He watches over Israel. Neither the sun by day nor the moon by night will harm you. It's obvious the sun has its scorching heat and the sunburn that could be had because of the sun during the day. We understand what that could mean, that the sun will not harm us if God is watching over us. But what about this phrase, the moon will not harm you? I don't get that. What does that mean? And so reading about this passage, it's thought that the moon by day, this reference here, is a reference to pagan moon gods from whom they thought a lot of illnesses came from. And so when the writer says the sun will not harm you by day or the moon by night, there's this 24-hour sense of God's protection, but there's also this sense that God is more powerful. He is watching over you. These other pagan gods, they will not get to you. And the psalm ends with the word forevermore. How much more of a big picture can you get than forevermore? Through all eternity, God is watching over us. This psalm helps us declare our trust in God and provides the blessing of God's promise to watch over us in the little things and the big things, the personal things and the big picture needs of the world. This gives us comfort and courage for each day and each challenge that we face. We already noted that this Psalm 121 is one of the psalms that the Israelites sang as they approached Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover festival. So, in connection with this passage in Luke, this would have been one of the psalms that Mary and Joseph and Jesus sang along the path as they went towards Jerusalem. They, along with their extended family and friends, journeyed to Jerusalem singing these songs of ascent. At the time, Jesus was 12 years old. I don't know, do we have any 12-year-olds here this morning? Maybe close to that, 11 or 13? Yeah, there's at least one that I see. Jesus was 12 years old at this time. And Mary and Joseph were young parents. I see some young parents here as well. So this is a story that we can sometimes relate quite closely to. Going to Jerusalem was a big deal for Passover. The city is said to have expanded by 30 to 40 times more people during the Passover festival than it normally was. Houses were full of guests. Tents were popping up anywhere there was space to put them. It was a busy time for families as they got ready for the Passover and then as they remembered and celebrated that day long, long ago when God redeemed their ancestors out of slavery from Egypt. It was a huge celebration. And after the celebration, the people must have been tired, but they packed up their belongings and headed back home along the same road that they had come. And somewhere in the hubbub of all that activity, Jesus snuck away from his group and went back to the temple. Luke tells us that Jesus listened with great questions, and that he also gave answers of his own. This is a bit of a foreshadowing of what was to come in Jesus' life. He he was comfortable with the leaders and the teachers of the law. And while that was going on, meanwhile, back on the road, his parents eventually realized that he was missing. They turned back eventually and searched for Jesus. They walked the same road toward those hills, toward Jerusalem, that they had walked several days earlier. And it was on that same road, but suddenly things looked a lot differently. And I wonder, as they walked back those same steps, did they sing those same songs again? Were they still singing, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth"? Or did they start to wonder if indeed God was watching over them? If God was keeping their son's feet from slipping? If he was being watched over? Was God still keeping him from harm? Was God keeping their 12-year-old son, the one whom Mary had been told was the Son of the Most High, the one who would take over the throne of his ancestor David and reign forever? Was God still watching over the Savior who was to redeem the people, not from slavery in Egypt as they had just celebrated, but they thought would redeem them from the oppression of the Roman rule? We know we redeem all people everywhere from their sin and separation from God. Was God still watching over Jesus? Mary and Joseph were praying. Was God still protecting the one whose birth had brought out the angels singing in the night sky? That Jesus was missing. It wasn't so bad at first when they thought Jesus was somewhere with their friends and relatives, but as the hours, nights, and days passed and their fear grew, I imagine that they did return to Psalm 121 and those nagging questions lurking between the lines came to life for Mary and Joseph, just like they come to life for you and me as we face the challenges of life. If we're being honest with ourselves, and we always should be, we must admit that there is a troubling underlying sentiment found between the lines of this psalm. You see, sometimes our feet do seem to slip off the path. Sometimes it seems like God is not protecting us from challenges and attacks. Sometimes we do get sick. Sometimes our loved ones pass away. How do we make sense of the struggles of life? How do we make sense of the hurtful things that have happened to us? Or the hurtful things that we do to others? How do we make sense of sickness and death? We want our feet to stay always on the path. We want the shade to always protect us from the scorching sun. We want to keep and be kept from all harm. And the psalmist declares that God does just that. But when we look at life, these things still happen to us. How can the psalm writer be so emphatic about God's watchfulness, his preservation, his guardianship, his protection? And as we look at the words of the psalm, the answer is here. The answer is right here in this psalm. Mary and Joseph would have been singing on their way back to Jerusalem. God is the maker of heaven and earth. And he does this forevermore, watching over his people. As the creator of all things and the Lord of all eternity, God has a different perspective than we do. When we face trouble and heartache, pain and suffering in this life, for us, it just looms us right in the face, stares us, and that's all we can see. But God has a bigger picture. And in that picture, He is watching over us. He is keeping us. He is preserving. He is guarding and protecting us. Not always for what we think is our good, but for His glory and for all eternity, forevermore, watching over us. The song that was sung over Mary and Joseph and Jesus as a blessing just days earlier now became Mary and Joseph's fervent prayer. The Lord, Lord, watch over Jesus wherever he is. Lord, don't let his feet slip. Lord, keep his coming and his going in your care. Lord, from whom our help comes, keep our son from harm. Keep him safe right now in this moment. Sounds a lot like the prayers we offer for the children in our lives, right? Our sons and daughters, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, our little brothers and sisters, our older brothers and sisters. I have a feeling that as they sang this psalm, though, they wouldn't just pick and choose the parts of the psalm to sing that have to do with themselves personally. This whole song was so ingrained into the fiber of their being, I can imagine them singing the whole thing as they walked back to Jerusalem, not just the personal parts. Mingled with their pleas for the safety of their son were the prayers of the people for this bigger picture of what God the Father is doing. Maker of heaven and earth, Savior of your people, watch over all of Israel, all of your chosen people. Watch over all people susceptible to these illnesses that presumably might be brought on by these pagan moon gods. Watch over us, watch over all of us forevermore. As Mary and Joseph prayed this prayer, a bigger picture was unfolding in a way that they had no idea was happening. They couldn't see it, they didn't know it, but with the words of this psalm, they were declaring that God is Lord of all. When life isn't going our way, and when it seems like Jesus, the Christ, has gone into hiding, we too sing these words like Psalm 121 because it speaks of God's intimate care for us. But it also speaks to this bigger picture that reminds us that God is not sleeping. He's holding all of this, all of us together. We just can't see it sometimes. Doesn't mean that he's not there. And it certainly doesn't mean that we should stop looking for him. No, we keep looking because we know he's there with us. Maybe there were times in the last year when it seemed like Jesus had gone missing, like God had skipped town. There will be times in 2019 where it might seem like Jesus has gone missing. But he has not, and he will not, because he is always about the Father's work. The psalmist declared it in Psalm 121, "The Lord will watch over your coming and going." And the 12-year-old boy Jesus declared it with his answer to his parents in this event in the temple. "I must be about my Father's business." That's how the King James Version translates it. Other versions say, "I must be in my Father's house." He is always in the Father's house, which, living on this side of the resurrection, we know that he is now living in us. This is his house, right here in us. I must be in my Father's house. I must be about the work of my Father. It's happening here in us, not just in a temple somewhere in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Like Mary, we ponder these things. We treasure them in our heart. Even as we face struggles of all sorts every day, sometimes the struggles are dealing with the hurtful things that have happened to us. Sometimes the struggle is dealing with the hurtful things that we have done intentionally or unintentionally to others. We are broken people living in a broken world. But the Maker of heaven and earth watches over us. The Holy One gives us comfort and courage to step into a new way of doing life, his way of viewing the world, in which God is keeping us for his glory. He's preserving us for his glory. He's guarding us for his glory. He's protecting us for his glory. Our help comes from the Lord. God helps us deal with the struggles of life. God helps us forgive and recover from those hurtful things that have happened to us. God helps us own up to the hurtful things that we have done to others. God gives us grace so that we might give it to others and to ourselves. So be invited with the words of Psalm 121 to declare trust in the Lord as our very close and personal help, to take on God's divine perspective and his way of doing life with grace and forgiveness, but then also take a step back and remember and see the redeeming work that God has done throughout all of history and is doing today and will continue until he comes again. Remember the words of Psalm 121 and receive the Maker of heaven and earth as he watches over your coming and your going from this time forth, now, and forevermore. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let's pray. Creator, Maker of heaven and earth, Redeemer of all things, Sustainer of all things, watch over us. Protect us. Guard us. And in those times when it seems to us like you're not doing that, be patient with us. Love us. Draw us close to you. Show us that your ways are different than our ways. Give us your perspective. In the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, amen.